Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome on into the full-time report as we recap what took place at BMO Stadium. Atlanta United falls 1-0 to LAFC as LAFC attempts to make a charge up the Western Conference table with they got the 3 seed and Minnesota squarely in their sights with a couple of games in hand. It's Abe Gordon and Madison Cruz. Maddie, of course, of soccer down here, taking you back through what was a relatively fair and even game. And I know the stats aren't really going to do it justice, but, you know, there have been moments in this season, Maddie, where this is a team that has been embarrassed on the field. This is a team that never looked like they were in the game, never looked like they had any chance or desire to win. I didn't get that feeling at all tonight. I certainly you're concerned that what could have happened, did happen, and that was ultimately you gave up a goal in the very late stages of this match. You couldn't recover, and you fall 1-0. But you were in this game, and I think that was refreshing, even in a loss, considering what happened a week ago against New England.
I mean, I think Jason said it best. The fact that you had Sonny going to the corner to try to slow things down the last couple of minutes, yeah, you went in on the road, and you flustered LAFC a little bit. It stayed 0-0 for a while. And I think defensively, too, it's what Ronnie Dyla did so well, I think, in getting everything right in this matchup, is changing the formation, matching LAFC the way that you did. You did. You held your ground defensively. You were able to slow things down. You were able to stop the input and the output of Bowenga as well as Son Heung-min. You were able to stop all of that. And one moment, too, it's like they said, it happens. It falls on a rebound, you get beat in one moment, and then you get Bowenga on the end of a ball, and he's going to capitalize. But I think it's one of those things of defensively, you held strong. And again, yeah, there was a lot of conversations this week, you know, talking about what Ronnie Dyla said after that New England game about this team being soft, something he said this season, something players have echoed, too, and they didn't show it. The response from the New England game in this matchup was huge. They didn't get the win, didn't get the tie for the road, but the response was there, and this team proved it. They proved it tonight, and the response, that was the biggest thing I took away from it as well. Just the response and the fight in every single moment from the team tonight.
Yeah, I think ultimately there's going to be a fair amount of disconnect between, look, you lost the game, and we understand that. You don't get any points. You certainly don't get 3. But again, you're dealing with one of the best teams in all of MLS. You're dealing with a long road trip. And coming off of the performance you had against New England, I think it's fair to be moderately encouraged by this performance. And look, I understand I'm encouraged isn't probably not the right, necessarily right descriptor here, because this is a lost season. This is one of the last few times you'll take the pitch, and this year is certainly going to end with you very near the exact bottom of the standings. I understand. So saying that you're encouraged by a performance maybe taken out of context, but there were ways that this could have gone differently. And yeah. I think to like you said, to respond off of what was an atrocious effort a week ago against New England shows a little bit of something, and hopefully that can be, and Jason and Mike Conte had said it perfectly, the consistency you need to find over the course of a season. Hopefully you can take a little something out of this and put it towards next season.
But I do think you're right in saying encouraged. Like, I do think it is the right
terminology. It's in there.
It is.
Again, I know you didn't win. I know you didn't score. What you need, though, to turn a season around, to be better next year, It's in there, and you can feel it and see it by performances like tonight.
And that's exactly the foundation. It's something, especially when you were knocked out of the playoffs, when you knew that these last couple of games were here. It's one of those moments where you want to build and you want to try to get better heading into 2026. This is a matchup that does define that in the sense of, hey, this is the standard. This is what we need to do. We need to continue to build. In those moments, you got to be a little bit cleaner, especially in the attack when you get those moments, try to connect something up top. But defensively, which has been a point this season that has been a struggle at times, you held your own and you held your ground. And everyone was defending not only 1v1s, but also as a team. How quickly, as soon as LAFC got back on the ball, did we see the entire 11 man on the field for Atlanta United push back to get back defensively to help everybody out? That's exactly what we needed to see. And we saw it tonight.
Yeah, I thought Steon really did a good job on Bouanga. There were times it looked like Bouanga had a step, and multiple times, as a matter of fact. And Steon did a great job closing that up, cleaning up the ball as necessary. Quick look at the statistics. And again, it's not going to be a pretty sight for Atlanta. The stat recap brought to you by Emory, the official team healthcare provider of Atlanta United. Possession 56% for LAFC, 44 for Atlanta. The shots were 15-3 in favor of LAFC. Shots on goal 4-1 in favor of LAFC, and a 2.4 XG to a 0.1 XG for Atlanta United. I will note that LAFC also had a number of blocked shots of Atlanta United, and that kind of could have skewed the numbers a little bit as well. Look, from a statistical aspect, it looks like a dominating affair. I think watching the game and feeling the momentum and feeling the moments would, as Jason and Mike explained, tell a different story. That being said, we also have to give out, before Ronnie Dyla takes to the post-match podium, our man of the match, Madison Cruz of Soccer Den here. Who are we going with?
I'm going to give it to the goalkeeper, Jaden Hibbert. I think he had an outstanding performance tonight. And not only too, I think watching Jaden grow as a keeper throughout his time with Atlanta United too, seeing him develop there, getting the opportunity to step in for the rest of this season too, and he showed up in this matchup tonight in a atmosphere like LAFC at BMO Stadium. It is hard. It is difficult, especially starting out that matchup behind those supporters who are rowdy, who are going to be loud, who are going to chirp in your ear. Jaden handled it really well. He had a lot of really, really great moments and a lot of really good reaction steps, and that's exactly what he's supposed to do. And he's continued to grow and develop as a keeper, and it's been fun to watch it right before our eyes. And, I mean, I think about that one save, too, just the one-handed swatted that one away.
Yeah.
I mean, that one's going in the highlight reel. Maybe MLS save of the week, maybe, but that was incredible. I thought it was really, really good. I thought Jaden tonight in between the post was really solid for the Five Stripes, and he is a bright future.
Yeah, and we're going to spend some more time later here today in the full-time report about Hibbert because, look, this is his third man of the match in the last six matches since he took over for Goose. And it's just one of those things, and the man of the match has gone ups and downs. Moranchuk won three in a row. Hibbert won two in a row. TRA won two in a row. And at times, just different guys. Earlier in the year, Jay Fortune had a couple in a row. But the fact that Jaden Hibbert has put himself now tied for third on this team in man of the match, is tied with Jay Fortune, a couple behind Sleesha Moranchuk, which would make sense if you've been paying attention all season. I do think that says something, and that's certainly a conversation we will have a little bit later on in the show, because I agree. I thought he was outstanding again, and when you look at the numbers, you look at the stats that I read off, 2.4 on the XG, a lot of work done there by Hibbert to keep it competitive. I mean, look, we were heading into the last 7-8 minutes of this match at 0-0, and now ultimately Bouanga gets a ball. Which, again, a little bit of a lucky bounce ball. Tried to attempted cleared header by Mihai. Desperation touch just to get to it, and it just didn't get far enough and happened to fall to Bouanga. I mean, you're talking about a 0-0 match, and we had the numbers, Maddie, at the start of the countdown, the Five Stripes countdown. This is a team that had more goals than any other team in the Western Conference. And for you to hold them scoreless at home, no doubt. Well, while they're relatively full strength, this is their first choice lineup. I thought it was a great job by United defensively, and Hibbert obviously a major part of that, because there are definitely one or two where you look at and say, boy, that ball's going in side net, back of the net, upper 90, whatever it might be, if Hibbert doesn't get a paw on that. So certainly the save that you referenced is in that discussion. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will hear the highlights. We'll hear Buonga and the goal that decided this game, and also we'll hear from Ronnie Dyla at the post-match podium. It's Abe Gordon, Madison Cruz. The full-time report continues on Sports Radio 92.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. Abe Gordon, Madison Cruz, the full-time report. Atlanta United falls on the road 1-0 to LAFC, but a relatively strong performance. I know sometimes the stats may not look at it, but pretty proud of the performance out there tonight. Scoreless and looked like it was going to hold for a long time up until the 86th minute, but unfortunately, Denny Buonga found one, and we'll hear that one in a little bit. But just a couple of minutes ago, Ronnie Dyla took to the post-match press conference podium, and here's what he had to say.
Ronnie changed the shape in the starting lineup to kind of match what LAFC did. How do you feel like that worked out tonight?
I'm proud of the boys today. I think we talked last time about being soft and all these different things that we didn't have the team spirit that we, and discipline that we wanted. I think now we really put everything on the pitch. We kept the game even. We need to get a little bit more out of the things we have around the box. I think we should have more crosses inside. We should have more players inside when we have these opportunities. But then we overplayed a little bit too much sometimes. And defensively, I think we were very solid, very organized, short distances between us. And there was, a mistake in the end. And that's sad because I think we should get something out of the game. But as I said to the players, if you're going to get points away, this is what needs to be in the bottom about organized, being hardworking, being disciplined, and then with confidence and all these different things, more belief after all the things we've been through, then I think also we'll see more quality in the next phase.
Even with a different structure tonight, it felt like the principles of what you want this team to do were there consistently. How was this past week of training getting ready for this game? What was the response to the New England loss?
Yeah, a lot. I think we had a very good training week. We talked about aggression. We talked about reactions. We talked about being disciplined, do the job. And that's done the whole week. And they took that into the game today as well. And that has to be in the bottom, as I said. And I'm happy with that. But of course, when we are changing the style a little bit, and also it's more difficult to get offensive play to be 100%. I think today we come and we try to defend a lot, but we also have a patches of a good play that we could have more out of the situations.
The last one for me, Gregerson played really well, and he's played really well for a while now. How important is he for what you want to do with this team going forward?
It's important, but sad that again had to take him off because of he felt a little bit something in his legs. So that do something, because those three in the center there is men, and they are tough to play against. And I think they did a good job today against two very, very good players up front. So Stian is important, same with the others, but we need consistency, and hopefully we can keep more 90 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's no secret to how Ronny Dyla feels about the team, regardless of result, based on his post-match comments. And I think today it's valid. Again, you're trying to correlate losing the match, which is one thing, with the effort put forth comparative to recent efforts. And I think that's why it sounds like Dyla's a little bit more upbeat despite a defeat. And I think it's fair to feel that way. I certainly know that I feel that way. Despite allowing that 86-minute goal there. And he was talking about a number of things, a response to New England and a response to what he deemed was a soft effort a week ago, taking it back on the road and showing a little bit more fight in this one. And ultimately, it still ends the same way with the opposing team taking all 3 points. But you certainly feel a little bit different about it. He also went into detail about why the three center backs and how they felt it worked tonight and some of the intensity there, and Stian Gregersen there at the end. Again, you and I had singled out Stian a little bit in that opening segment, Maddie. I just thought he responded well to moments he needed to be there when Buonga was on the attack. I think Stian's speed, his length, especially, you know, you don't always talk about length in soccer. You hear that a lot more probably in basketball, getting arms and passing lanes. I thought the length of Stian's legs played a role in his ability. That combined with his speed really did fluster Buonga in some moments where it felt like Buonga was off and clear to score. Stian was there. And so I thought he had a really nice showing today as part of that back three.
Yeah, I think what Ronny was talking about, and, you know, I'm glad that he brought it up too, because it was a talking point throughout the week about what he said after the New England game. You know, he said they were soft. And I like that he brought it up, and then I like he talked about the response in training this week, because that's exactly what needed to be said. And it's something, too, where trying to paint a narrative that, like, it's going to, you know, affect morale and stuff like that, but it's been said all season long. By not only Ronny, by the players. And you know that, especially too, when you get into training and this week too, and you see the response from the team. You see the team putting in the effort, putting in the hard work to know, hey, this needs to be fixed. We got to fix this. Because he's not saying soft. He's talking about in the game at times, you know, because sometimes as soon as something happens, it's your reaction. It's how you respond to those moments. How do you get back into those situations? And they did that tonight. Every single time they did it tonight. When they would be back to defend, everybody got back to defend, and they stood strong. They held their ground in those moments, and it's unfortunate that one goal as we're driving forward, and it's Pedro. Pedro gets unfortunately caught in that moment too, and then keeps everyone on, and then runners aren't tracked coming in, and then being cleared out. That's what ultimately leads to it. But it's one of those things too where it's a small mistake, but it's one of those situations too where the entire match you kept it scoreless, and it did feel like you did deserve a result out of this one. But it's the response, it's the fight, it's the hardworking, it's the team being organized, being very disciplined when they were attacking defensively and when they were driving forward too. And it's, again, it's just trying to get more out of what you do in the attacking box now. It's trying to figure out what you can do a little bit more up there while also adding what you did defensively. But tonight, the stepping stone defensively, absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, I want to make sure I pick my words clearly here, because this is not an offense versus defense thing for Atlanta United.
No.
But I will say this. I think you'll take the defensive effort every time. I think you'll take, hey, we held LAFC in their home building to one goal. I think you'll probably take that on most nights, most games, and then it's up to the attack to do better. But I understand defending is an entire unit. Attacking is an entire unit. So I'm not saying it's the offense versus the defense here. All I'm suggesting is that I think you're happy to get away with holding LAFC to one goal, and I think you'll take that on most nights.
Yeah.
So I think you're fair with that effort, and you almost held them scoreless, which would have been nice as well.
Yeah, I mean, and it's one thing, too, where it's something as well, especially when you look at the game and when you're trying to instill a lot of these moments and you're trying to talk about these things too. It's like, okay, hey, we got to work on this defensively. Let's figure this thing out. Okay, now we got to add this other piece and let's talk about adding and building up this way. It's not going to be a quick turnaround of things just click. I think defensively that was the focus, and I think it should have been, because you're on the road. You're going on the road against a really tough LAFC side who, especially with the new additions that they've brought in, they're deadly. They're deadly in the attack. So you have to be more focused defensively. That's why you change formation. You go more man-to-man. You create more 1v1s in those situations. You align it that way. You have each of your players designed to go up against the other players on LAFC. And it worked really well because you handled yourself well defensively too. When you got the opportunities to go into the attack, you were able to get into the attacking third. You just couldn't create something to find a shot, to find a shot on target as well. But again, it's one of those things too, is just finding more of those open opportunities. But again, defensively, as Ryan Diasella, he's proud. I'm proud too. It was a fight. It was a battle. And that's what I wanted to see tonight, especially going up against LAFC. And you brought it. You brought it to LAFC and you made them flustered.
Yeah, and quite frankly, a little bit unlucky there on the goal. It happened in the 86th minute, and it is our highlight tonight brought to you by Scana. For over 20 years, Scana Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. Here's how it sounded. The lone goal in this game, it eventually fell to Denny Buonga.
But it goes back to Delgado, who carries it down the central channel, loops it off to the left here, Smoliakov, outside the left corner of the 18, pivoting it back to Delgado, who pops it into the goal mouth, headed away, rebound score. Buonga. Buonga into the Golden Boot lead. Atlanta United into the depths of despair after defending so well for 85 minutes.
Yeah, look, Mihai did his best to deflect it. It just happened to fall where Buonga was, and there was another man involved in between Buonga and Hibbert, and unfortunately didn't deflect off him and either be offsides or miss goal. And it falls in for a 1-0 lead there. And Buonga, obviously we talked about him and Son Heung-min, very dangerous duo up front. And eventually they broke through. But again, I thought Stian Gregersen and really the whole group, but Stian individually did a lot to stymie and stifle Buonga throughout the night. So it does fall 1-0, and that's where the match ended. For LAFC, grabbing the 3 points and really putting some pressure on Minnesota there now for third place in the Western Conference. All right, we're going to continue our discussion on the other side. We're also going to try and head back to BMO Stadium, see if we can hear what a player or players have to say post-game as well. The full-time report continues. We're back in 5 minutes. It's Abe Gordon, Madison Cruz on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in the full-time report. It's Abe Gordon, Madison Cruz. One of the three final games of Atlanta United season tonight. They've got two remaining, one against Inter Miami on the road a week from now during an international window, and then Decision Day, which really doesn't have a lot of decisions left. A little bit of seeding here and there, but Philadelphia has wrapped up the Supporter Shield, and hopefully Atlanta United won't be battling out for Wooden Spoon when we do get there. An opportunity to hear from our man of the match, Jaden Hibbert, took to the post-match podium. at BMO Stadium just moments ago.
Jay, I'll start with the goal. Just kind of how everything broke down from how you saw it on the ball over the top.
Yeah, I have to watch it back, of course. It's tough when you're in the game, but your memory is really short. Like, it's tough to remember. I do remember the chip over Nea. It's a good header defensively. I'm not sure what the rest of the back line looked. It might have been spread out, but again, it went through my legs. I think that's tough. It was close range. Being critical of myself, I think I shouldn't have gone into that blocking shape, stood up, kicked it out, or, you know, maybe even close some ground, get, you know, a little starfish spread going. But I'll talk to my coaches and see what we could do better as a team, and then, you know, by myself personally.
A different shape tonight, something you guys have played this season but hadn't played in a little while, matched LAFC shape. How did you kind of see that chess match playing out for you?
Yeah, right. You said it went. Who could figure out better? I think, you know, we did well. We played out sometimes, went long, trying to connect those passes. Similar in the second half, I thought we did well. You know, it works. We got good footballers that want to play soccer for real. So that system works well for us tonight. I think it was good.
Yeah, first time we got to see a long run out with that trio of Stian and Inea and Juan. How do you like playing behind those three specifically?
Yeah, I love it. I think a good highlight play right there was Stian lost the ball at one point, and then he's hustling back, bodies belong. And, you know, that's confidence, that's comfortability with the group of guys right there. You know, that's winning tackles, Juan sliding in the 18, you know, making tough plays, and Nea being a leader back there. I love it. I mean, it makes my life a little easier, you know what I mean? But, you know, those are great guys.
Last one for me. I said it off the kickoff, that had to be the loudest atmosphere that you've been in front of. Being in front of the 3252, what'd you think of playing here today?
Yeah. A lot of words said when you're on that other side. It was interesting to see. I mean, I love that. Difficult to communicate, obviously, we're players, but, you know, I thrive for that atmosphere. It makes your IQ a little bit better. You have to see without talking, and that's a crucial part of football, as you know.
It seemed really well connected, honestly.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, training was solid. We were locked in for this one.
Excellent.
Yeah, and look, obviously this wasn't a last-minute decision made by Ronnie Dyla today to, let's start these three guys. They'd been working all week in practice knowing they were most likely going to play with the three center backs, and we talked about it a little bit at the start, Maddie, is just making sure everyone's on the same page. It's the first time they've played three center backs at times this season. These three center backs, however, had not been in together, including Mihai and Barakal having very limited time in match as a duo. And then they have both played with Stian for lengths since joining the team. And I do think it fared relatively well. Again, and I mentioned it already, anytime you're holding LAFC at home to just the one goal, I think you take that. And there wasn't the miscommunication. There was maybe a time here or there, but for the most part, it didn't ultimately cost you. I do want to counter one thing that Jaden Hibbert said. I don't think there's much more he can do on the goal. I think anytime a guy is shooting from inside the six, there's just, you know, there's always going to be hindsight of should I have done something different with my body, but, you know, there at no point should he feel like he should have saved that. And so I think fair play to Bouanga on that for finishing. There's not much Hibbert can do at that point.
For Jaden, it's, you know, you want to continue to get better and better every time you step out onto the pitch. And I think that's where it comes from. Obviously, too, you know, you look at everything else. So I agree with you. I think because of how close range it was and the power on the shot, too, it just kind of slipped through and it happens. But also, too, again, it's in one of those situations, too, you don't allow it to get to that point either. And it's one of those things, too, where you were so solid defensively. It's just one of those mistakes, you know, you lose a runner that's coming in, you lose that opportunity, and it just, you get capitalized on the rebound, too. Because as Jaden said, too, Nea, it's a good defensive header trying to clear it out. It's just, unfortunately, it falls over and Bouanga's able to capitalize. But it's one of those things that I really love what Jaden said, too, talking about the three center backs in front of him as well. He was like, made my job a lot easier. And it's one of those two. He brought back up the one play, and I can't even believe that I forgot about it because I sat here and I was like, whoa. I mean, it was Stian losing the ball in that 1v1, and I think it was Bouanga who almost was able to win it back, and then Stian tracks it down and is able to steal it right back from him and then goes the other way. And that's exactly, I think, what goes back to what Ronnie talked about, was the fight that this team showed was, hey, I made this mistake, but I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fix it immediately. That's what Stian did. He went and immediately fixed it. He won it back for his team and tried to play it the other way. And that's what I think, with that connectivity and just working on it in training, getting things going, the response from that New England game, that's so important to see that too. And also in a matchup too where you had to suffer a lot, especially too defensively. You had to just sit back and just suffer together and work together. And I think that's what that back three did so well, along with Jaden too, working well together to communicate, to be in those right areas, to make sure that you're marking your guy and making sure that you are not letting anything come in that box.
Before we turn the page to Inter-Miami and looking ahead to an international break where a number of Atlanta United players will depart for international duty, I do want to continue this conversation about goalkeeping and Jaden Hibbert in his place, because not just based on tonight, but based on ever since he took over for Goose, I think there's a longer discussion, and we have a little bit of time here, Maddie. So when we come back, we will talk once again about our man of the match and Jaden Hibbert and what he's accomplished since becoming the first team choice keeper here for Atlanta United. So stick around. A lot more still to come. It is the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in to the Kia Studios. Abe Gordon, Madison Cruz, soccer down here. Recapping a 1-0 loss for Atlanta United out on the West Coast, 2,200 miles away at BMO Stadium in Los Angeles. LAFC with a 1-0 win. They'll take the 3 points and continue to try and charge up the Western Conference table. Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation is currently $8,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. I want to talk about Jaden Hibbert a little bit more here, Maddie, and certainly the shutout total here, not increasing, but certainly not because of anything that he did tonight. Again, a goal happened. I don't think you can blame really anyone. I guess if you wanted to force blame, Amador kept a man on sides at the start of the sequence, but Mihai did his best to clear it. It just didn't quite get there. And then certainly I don't think there was much more Hibbert could have done to keep the ball out the back of the net. And it brings me to the discussion of obviously a lot was made when you make the decision to remove Goose as your first choice keeper. And I think there's a lot of questions, and there were some statements made by Ronnie Dyla and Chris Henderson at the time as well, not in regards to Goose or Hibbert, but in regards to the position of your first choice goalkeeper and what's going to go into that decision next season. They've been a little bit open just in terms of saying that there are a lot of options on the table for what could be the decision next year. I'll be honest, I don't know if they felt Hibbert was on the table as much as he probably is now. I just he's very young. He's very talented. He didn't have any experience. Now, not only does he have a number of games of experience in MLS play, I think he's played outstanding. I don't think we've seen what my concern was, not because of Hibbert, just because it's a concern I would have with any young goalie making his first foray into that next tier of play, is are there mistakes that cost the team goals, that cost the team games? And we just haven't had that. And maybe there's been a mistake here or there for whatever reason. It hasn't ultimately cost the team goals, and he's learned from it, and we move forward. I don't know if they felt he was going to make as strong an argument to be the first team goalie as he has. But heading into the offseason with a lot of decisions to be made about personnel, about roster, including about the status of Brad Guzan and what's next for him in his career, I would be very comfortable heading into next season with Jaden Hibbert as your first-choice keeper based on what we've seen from him the last, what is it, 6-7 starts, whatever the number is.
Well, being a young keeper, being a young player, when you step into that role, especially in the first team too, you're going to make mistakes. It's going to happen. And no one's perfect. Even some of the greats out there make mistakes daily when they're out there on the pitch. It just happens. None of us are perfect in those situations. But I think it's how you learn from your mistakes. That's what sets you apart. And I think with Jaden, you've seen that. I think not only, I'm not even talking about when he stepped up and started getting the starts here for Atlanta United. I'm talking about even with Atlanta United too. In taking all of those hardships, taking some of those lessons and continuing to get better, continuing to learn. And, you know, praising Brad Guzan, praising Josh Cohen, praising the goalkeeper coaches, Lewis Sharp for Atlanta United too as well. Like, you look at all of them and, you know, helping him continue to grow and to be better. And I think, too, it definitely brings into question heading into next season, you know, what it's going to look like. And Mike said at the beginning of this broadcast, too, you know, players are fighting for their jobs right now. And it's the same thing, too. You're fighting because you want to prove, hey, I can be here. I can be someone you can count on. And Jaden Hibbert has proven that. He's proven that I can be someone you can count on heading into next season. And it is something. You're trying to make a statement. And I think Jaden's done a really good job. I think what impressed me about Jaden's game is this confidence and when he's out there in between the posts. And also, too, I think you, especially with the way the game is switching now, I think especially having a keeper who's so good with the ball at their feet, who can step up and be another field player when needed at times, to be another distributor. I think Jaden's distribution is incredible, too. And I think he's gotten so much better. And it was one thing that I was curious about, too, especially in defending set pieces. And Jaden's done a fantastic job in a lot of those situations, too. And I think commanding your box, too. And Jaden has that confidence, too. He has a bright future.
Yeah, I don't think the shot stopping was ever in question.
No, the shot stopping's never an issue for Jaden. But
I still think you wanted to see it, right? It wasn't one of those things where you're like, oh, I don't know. You know, that wasn't part of the question. He's obviously, from a physical standpoint, from an athletic standpoint, everything you need a keeper to be. But it has been refreshing to see the shot stopping, and we saw it a couple times tonight. Again, Jaden Hibbert was our man of the match, and he did it in a multitude of ways. There was a bending ball where he had to dive to his left, got a strong arm to it, and put it wide of the post. And there was another ball headed back in. He's going across his body, and he just gets a trailing arm to it. Again, not even a slight deflection. Got some real power to the deflection to put it relatively out of danger. And so I think he's been very, very good, almost surprisingly so, which is enough to say just a positive. And then, as you mentioned, and it's not just on him, I think it's on a lot of the members of that back line, but no communication errors tonight. It was loud there, as you heard Mike say during the match, as you heard Jason mention in the post game discussion. Being in communication with a new, again, modified trio backline is something we hadn't seen with Steon and Barakal and Mihai together back there, and it just didn't look like that was a problem. And certainly that's credit to them, but that's also credit to Hibbert as well. And so I'm just saying, again, he's tied for third for man of the matches over the course of this season, knowing he's only played the 7 or 8 or whatever number it is. Matches. I just think he's been so much better than I expected, and it's going to make for a very tough decision when it comes to what the plan is at keeper next year for Chris Henderson and the staff.
It's about building trust. It's about building trust in anything you do. I think back to that matchup where Cooper Sanchez came in, and it's that ball over the top immediately, and then it allows for everyone around him to go, oh, okay, yeah, we can pass to him. He's fine. He can handle it. It's the same thing, too. When Jaden steps in, it's about building that trust, especially with your back line. Building that trust, knowing, you know, when can you communicate this? When should I do this? How do I communicate this to them? It, especially, too, in those situations where you are playing so high up as well. But it's one of those things, too. It's building trust, and I think you're seeing that every single time that back line, that connection is getting so much stronger. And I mean, I'll say it again. Jaden has a very bright future. Jaden is a very, very solid goalkeeper. And I'm really excited to continue to watch him develop.
All right. When we come back here on the full-time report, we will start to turn the page. Obviously, two matches remain in the MLS season. And the next one is taking place a week from yesterday. It's going to be back on Saturday, as you might expect it to be. But it is falling during an international window. We'll talk about who may or may not be available for Atlanta United, what some of the changes could be, and obviously getting set for an Inter-Miami squad that might have a couple of guys missing as well. So we will start to turn the page and look at the next match for Atlanta United coming up in 5 minutes as we wrap up the full-time report. Stick around on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Final couple of minutes here. It is the full-time report. Abe Gordon, Madison Cruz getting you Ready for one of the last two matches of Atlanta United. Of course, tonight against LAFC in LA, they fell 1-0, and so the turn the page to Inter Miami. It's going to be a match taking place on Saturday at 6:30 p.m., and it's going to be an interesting number of changes. Obviously, we saw a change today made with three center backs playing, and it's who knows what it's going to look like in just under a week's time, because it is a match that was rescheduled. Inter Miami's run in, was it in Champions League or whatever? Was it in CONCACAF Champions League? I don't remember what forced this. It's been a long season, all right? But Inter Miami had success in one of those tournaments that Atlanta United wasn't in or got eliminated from, and maybe it was League's Cup. So this is a match that was postponed previously and is now rescheduled, and so that's why it's falling on an international break. And they're not the only match, only teams that are going to be in action over this. There's a couple of teams that have games in hand that need to make them up, but it is falling during the international break. And so, as you might expect, as we've talked about at length during previous international breaks, Atlanta United potentially could be sending a number of players out. And look, it may not necessarily be the same players they've sent out previously. Some of these countries are in non-competitive matches. They're just friendlies. And so maybe players get called up, maybe they don't. But we do know that Sleash obviously is being called up. And then who knows? We could go through the list, Maddie, right? Just in general, at times Miggy has been called up. At times Steon has been called up. At times Saba has been called up. And the list goes on and on. Alexi Maranchuk has been used before. And so we don't have the official list yet, I believe. But certainly there could be a number of United mainstays that are away from the team when they take on Inter Miami.
Yeah, there was a few that were already released this week as well. Cooper Sanchez will obviously be going off for the U-17s for that last camp. That was announced earlier this week. You do have two that were announced officially. Ronald Hernandez will be going to Venezuela as well. He will be there as well for some of those matches too. So he was called up. And same thing with Sleash. That was announced by Poland as well earlier this week. So Sleash will also be called up. Those are the only three that we know for certain as well. But again, you have other different national teams. A lot of them are competing in friendlies. A lot of them are also competing in other tournaments, too, trying to possibly look at World Cup as well. So to be determined. But, yeah, you might be looking at a couple of players possibly not being here for that matchup against Inter Miami. So you'll be relying a lot on some younger players, too, possibly maybe entering in. Again, we talked about it in the pregame,
yep,
especially when it comes to Atlanta United, too, how that plays into a factor with it. You have a couple of homegrown players that could possibly step up in those moments. Dominic Tronqui is one as well.
I still want to see him. I still want
to. He's one that could step up. I also don't know with short-term call-ups as well with some of those two players. I don't know if some of them have been burnt completely with the four short-term call-ups. I'm not for sure. But yeah, it's definitely going to be an interesting one at Inter Miami next Saturday.
The other news there is obviously Atlanta United dealing with trying to play through an international break. Inter Miami obviously has to deal with the same issue. And if the reports are true, Lionel Messi is going to be gone. He's been called up by Argentina.
That was officially confirmed on Argentina's Instagram page. It is Rodrigo De Paul as well as Lionel Messi are gone.
And there may be more of Inter Miami's squad that ultimately gets called up. And so hopefully this is one that affects both teams semi-equally. Again, for Atlanta United, they're not making a run into the playoffs at this point, so the result is not really of central focus here. At this point, it's still about figuring some things out and hoping to build towards next season. All right, that's going to do it for the full-time report. Join us again 6:30 on Saturday, November 11th for our next broadcast as Atlanta United will take on Inter Miami. Special thanks to Dom Cherosky, our producer in studio. For Mike and Jason, the voices of Atlanta United and the entire team, safe travels back from the West Coast. For Madison Cruz of Soccer Down Here, I am Abe Gordon. Once again, the final today on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, LAFC 1 and Atlanta United 0.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.